Please now, you guys.
Give it, Jason.
This is the Feudal Podcast. We are now recording. I am Ian. With me is, as always or usually, is Zach, and as becoming pretty reliable is Blaine. And we are going. They're going to talk about the movie that they just saw. It's a dungeon siege tale, knight tale of the dungeons with Falma.
It's a king's tale.
No, it's in the name of the king. In the name of the king, a dungeon siege tale.
Otherwise known as White Lightning 3, there's gators in the swamp.
I-T-M-O-T-K colon A-D-S-T. Let's just call it that. Let's just call it that for now.
Shorter and snappy.
Okay.
So you want us to start?
First... The cast, because you were telling me some of this before, and I couldn't believe it.
Here's the cast. Here's the cast.
This is Uwe Boll again, right?
Uwe. Okay. It's Uwe Boll, basically.
So, Cup of Noodles is writing and directing this, so it's subsidized by the German government. Thanks to social...
He didn't write this one.
Allegedly.
Okay. There's a name of someone else who wrote it.
But it could may be a pseudonym. Okay.
Yeah. I don't think it is.
He's getting more and more like John Carpenter every day.
Punching people.
And so it's got the German subsidized thing, so he can get big name actors to do it because they get paid
time, though,
a lot of
they
money.
Didn't, I don't know if this was German subsidized because this was actually filmed in Nova Scotia. So, because they don't have nice green land in Germany.
Maybe it was screwed.
There's factories, there's dead Jew burial grounds, that's it. That's Germany.
That's probably, I should go visit the homeland one of these days.
Mordor.
Okay. So in Lord of the Rings, a dungeon siege tale, Jason Statham.
Yeah, Transporter.
Main guy.
We'll come back to, remind me to come back to Transporter later.
Okay.
We'll come back to Transporter later. Okay.
Then,
Burt Reynolds.
Gator himself.
Mm-hmm. Matthew Lillard.
Scooby.
Shaggy,
yeah.
So
Transporter, Gator, Shaggy.
Blood Rain, which is Christina Loken.
Some chick.
Yep. Christina Loken. Also Terminator 3.
Terminator 3.
TX.
TX, okay.
Ray Liotta.
Okay. Henry Hill.
Yep. John Rhys Davies.
Gimli, son of Gwyn.
Or Solomon. Saul. Solly.
No camels.
No camels.
Compensation for my brother's car.
Ron Perlman.
Ron Palman.
The Beast.
Yep. When he first came on the screen, I said, "There's Ron Paul," because I forgot that Perlman was his last name, so I just went for the closest P.
Yeah.
And Blaine was like, "That's not Ron Paul."
Ron Perlman doesn't have such vehement opinions about the income tax.
He might. He said exactly that.
I did. I was.
I feel like I'm not talking to this thing.
No, I can see the levels. They're recording.
People can't hear you.
Okay. So Ron Perlman.
That was the Beast. That was 7. Yeah. Is that it? Can we?
No, well, there's women in it. Lili Sobieski.
Okay.
Is that from
Deep Impact and whatever else.
Is that Gimli's daughter?
Yeah, Gimli's daughter. And then Claire Forlani, who's been in tons of movies, and you recognize her if you saw her.
Yeah, I know who she is. She was in Meet Joe Black.
Yes,
and she was in Mallrats.
So anyway, here's how the movie goes.
Okay.
Aragorn, played by Jason Statham, who they call Farmer.
Mm-hmm. Because he's a farmer?
He's a farmer. So it
starts... They said his real name, though, right? What was his real name? Was it Norik?
Norik or Yorick or Doric or something like that. One of those, ancient names that from, jolly old England ice cream shop.
But he wanted to be called Farmer because that's his profession.
Yeah, so the kid goes... So he puts his wife and kid up on... he's a turnip farmer, right?
Wait a minute.
He pulls these big monster turnips up out of the ground. What?
Like Mario 2?
Huh?
Like Mario 2 style?
Pretty much.
Why would the kid...
he throws them at
ask
Goombas.
His mom that. Like
Goombas and Mario
yeah, 2. Yeah. As they're driving away, the kid is about
yeah,
7
like,
years old.
Why would he ask it at that age?
Or 10,
like,
or something
at that
like
that.
And,
maybe
so
he finally earned their courage.
This kid's hanging out with his dad, right? And they're pulling up turnips. Mm-hmm. And Ron Palman comes up and goes, "Hey, what are you doing pulling up them turnips? Why don't you come join the king's army? There's lots of fighting to do and
fighting
stuff
to be had."
And he says, "I just want to pull up these turnips." Basically, is what he says.
Yeah.
All
but a humble farmer.
Yeah, he doesn't want to get involved with this political stuff.
He's the reluctant hero.
He just wants to till the soil and pull up some gigantic turnips with his son
before the rains.
Before the rains, right? That's a key plot point.
Turn the dirt into clay. Or
yeah.
Whatever.
When the rains come and turn this dirt into clay, these turnips will be impossible to pull up.
That's why I had to fight Ray Liotta, because he was going to ruin all that.
So
Ray Liotta's like the rainmaker.
Yeah.
So the movie starts like this. Lily Sobieski's laying in a bed, and Ray Liotta's like looking at this beautiful kingdom. He says something. I don't remember what it was.
He's like in the air. He's like
he's hanging out like on a cliff. Mm-hmm. And then next shot, he's in bed with Lily Sobieski. And when he kisses her, like his veins are pulsating and his eyes are kind of glowing and stuff. And she's like, "Oh, every time you kiss me, I feel like my essence is being weakened." And everyone says like basically
yeah,
like is like it's like
telling
plot
you what's
stuff.
Going on
yeah.
a lot, yeah.
"Oh, you are stabbing me right now. Why are you doing such a thing?"
And why
because
do they
it
call
moves along the story?
Why do they call him farmer?
Yeah. So anyway, after that, then you see the kingdom start to the area where she is start to turn into basically Mordor.
Okay.
And there's lava falling out. And then it cuts to farmer, and he's tilling the soil, right, pulling out some turnips
mm-hmm.
with his son. Ron Palman comes.
Then the big rock guy shows up on his scooter, right? And the wombat guy?
No. It didn't happen. It didn't happen like that.
Oh.
Instead, they end up having dinner. And they're all sitting there having dinner. And Ron Palman... And then the kid says, "Hey, Mom, Ron Palman wants Dad to join the King's Army."
Mm-hmm.
And... the mom goes, "I hope you're not thinking about that, farmer." Like, everyone's... You realize at this point that everyone's going to call him farmer.
Mm-hmm.
At first, I thought Ron Palman called him farmer because he was the local farmer.
He was like, yeah.
Turns out they're old buddies. And farmer is what this guy wants to be called. And we know this because soon after the only line I remember in the film, for real, which I'll tell you in a minute, that Ron Palman says, Jason Statham loads up his wife and kid into a gigantic turnip cart. And has a whole bunch of turnips in it, and there's a huge turnip with four legs going to pull them away. It's a horse, but I like to think it was a turnip. and she goes, "Why won't you come with us?" And he goes, "Because I got to pull up these turnips." Like, his basic theme is that, you know, he's got to... So who's going to pull up these turnips?
If he doesn't do it.
Dedicated.
And so...
As, establishing
and
that.
So he goes...
Character.
So he tells his wife and kid, he orders them, "Be safe." They fail that order, by the way. And she goes, "It's Stonebridge. Of course I'll be safe.
What can happen?
What could go wrong?"
The bridge is made of stone.
Just like the
there's
president
no bridge,
in
the
Book
there's
of
no bridge. Yeah. Yeah. So they start to ride away. Yeah, the horoscope starts pulling away. Jason Statham goes back to his turnips. And the kid goes, "Mom, why does everyone call Dad Farmer?" And she goes, "Because he believes you should be, that you are what you do. And, you know, he never had a mom and dad. He was raised by everyone in this town. But,
it took a village to raise a farmer."
Yeah, it took a village to raise a farmer. Hillary Clinton was there. And so she basically explains everything about this guy's background in, like, one sentence to this kid. And he's like, "Oh."
"I didn't know that about my own dad."
Cool. All right, let's go. And so then they roll off. So... they get to their town and they have she sells some turnips and she is smiling while she does it, of course, and they're huge turnips, by the way.
Really?
This guy must know how
and
to.
She makes him pay extra.
She
makes him pay extra for.
She makes
turnips.
Him no, and she explains this to her her mom and dad and brother at the table. She goes,
They think they're taking advantage of me because I'm a woman, but I make them pay extra because I'm a woman. And then everyone goes, ah! Because Uwe Boll must have thought that was a really funny
joke.
But
they all have like tankards at that point, right?
A couple of them probably did.
That was hilarious.
Probably did.
There's a giant pipe.
Anything that's supposed to be taken as a joke in this film, I don't think it could even be funny to Germans. So if it was like some German translation error, which I don't know if it could because it was written by someone named Doug Taylor, which doesn't sound like a very German name or a real name. It sounds like a fake name. Doug Taylor. That's a little too convenient. So then, flashback to Jason Statham doing what? Working on turnips.
Pulling turnips.
But before that, let's go to the one memorable line in the movie. Do you remember the memorable line?
When they were eating dinner.
They're eating dinner, right?
And, this is before his family
left? This is before everyone's left, and they're ribbing Ron Palman, and he says, hey, why is everyone busting my chops about talking this guy into the army? I'm not trying to make him do it. I'm just saying it's a good job if he wants to join the army, you know, fighting and stuff. And he's like, I just got to pull these turnips. And then, and the wife goes, just eat your chicken. And so he turns to the son, Ron Palman does, and goes,
It was like he was reading the lines.
Yeah, it was supposed to be like them like playing around at the dinner table. Yay, let's have some fun with this kid. And the kid's like, ooh.
It was like a table.
So Ron Palman goes, give me the chicken. Ar, 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 ar. He looked very... He looked so uninterested. He looked like... Like, right before he said that, he goes, line. And they say it. Then he goes, give me the chicken. Ar, 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 ar. And then he was like, paycheck. And they put it in his hand and he walked off.
And then he high-fived the kid and he went, red ice.
He literally said, ar, ar, red ar, ice. Ar, ar.
He said, ar, 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 ar. Yeah. That was it. He said some dumb lines. Honestly, I forget what happens in most of the rest of the movie.
Well, Ray Liotta's the bad guy. Some wizard tried to take over the kingdom and steal the essence
of all.
But
it's really confusing. They don't explain it. Because then it goes to a shot of Burt Reynolds sitting there wearing some king's crown. He's going like this. Making the Burt Reynolds face, like I don't give a crap.
He's serious. He's serious.
And Matthew Lillard is sitting over by him, and he's chowing down on some grub. All he does is eat in this movie. And I think they were trying to say he was gluttonous or something. But they picked Matthew Lillard to play him. He weighs like 130 pounds and he's 6'4".
Yeah.
So I don't know how well that worked. Yeah.
He's shaggy.
He's the only person who tried in this movie, by the way. Matthew Lillard went over the top. Absolutely over the top. He was all, like, his eyes were bulging out of his head at every moment and he was screaming. And every time they had a close-up, spit was like flying. It was like that scene with Tim the Enchanter from The Holy Grail.
Mm-hmm.
And there was just, every time he said anything, it was just like, which is what he did in Scream, I think, at the end, after when you stabbed me too deep, man. So, anyway, they're sitting there, and Uwe Boll is, by the way, is not racist.
Okay.
The captain, the commander, and the general of his army are both black guys.
Yeah, it's not like Lord of the Rings.
It's not like Lord of the Rings at all. Where it's all white.
He was setting himself up. Right? He was setting
up. He wants to let you know that his movie is better than Lord of the Rings. Okay. Because he envisions an ancient world in a faraway place where all races are completely equal.
Yeah.
Except for the Krug. Krug?
Krug.
Krug? Okay.
Krug. Yeah, the obligatory disgusting creatures that can be hacked apart.
So here's the Krug. By the way, we never see them getting made or anything. There are glimpses into Ray Liotta's underworld, which looks exactly like Sauron's cave where they're making the Uruk-hai or whatever.
Yeah. Uruk-hai?
And it looks exactly like that, doesn't it?
Except not as good.
The CGI was pretty crappy.
Everything was basically Lord of the Rings except done not as well as Lord of the Rings.
So, John Rhys-Davies, who's in Lord of the Rings, then plays the Gandalf character. And he's just like the best advisor to Burt Reynolds.
Yeah.
And they don't even like talk until like near the end of the movie. It's a really bad movie.
I wasn't sure.
0.03.
Yeah. And then, so Lily Sobieski, we find out at this time. With this whole time, we were assuming that she was the daughter of the king.
Yeah, no,
and then about halfway through,
sense.
She walks up to the king and she's like, where's my father? And I was thinking he was going to go, I'm right here. But instead, he's like, oh, he's, you know, my Magus. They called him Maguses? Magi?
Yeah, Magus.
Magus and Magi.
Yeah.
He's off doing something.
He's a mage.
Exactly. Mage. And Ray Liotta's the bad mage of the kingdom. Like, they hired a good mage and a bad mage.
Yeah, they're the last two mages.
Yeah. But he lives in the kingdom. Like, he lives, he has like a house down from the castle or something like that. And yet, like, the king's like, you know, if I ever find him, and I was thinking, why don't they go to his house?
It wasn't the king, because you said, remember she said, if my father ever finds you, and we thought was the king, so he'd it was been the mage.
So he'd gotten himself so powerful by banging Lily Sobieski, apparently.
Yeah.
Or just stealing her essence.
Yeah, by banging her.
Yeah.
And,
okay.
And, so, yeah, it's so complicated. And then, anyway, here's the, what drives the story.
Mm-hmm.
So Jason Statham is pulling up his turnips, right? Well, this whole thing's being set up. And there's some Krug, and the Krug are starting to gather around the Stonebridge town. And you can see them off in the bushes and stuff. And they have helmets and stuff. And
the town that was supposed to be safe.
Yeah, and at some point, one of the king's people goes, the Krug don't wear helmets and shields. They're too stupid, or something like that. But we know they've been...
cultivated.
They've been cultivated by Ray Liotta. He's taught them how to use shields and stuff. So Jason Statham, meanwhile, is pulling up turnips.
Yeah.
Still. Suddenly he goes like this. And he looks around, right? Yeah. No noises are being made or anything. Just a loud soundtrack of terrible music. And we have to remember to talk about the song over the end credits, by the way. And so he starts walking around, right? And he starts walking really fast around his farm.
Yeah, all I did was, like, he just walks walk around and he looks. His farm.
And then it cuts back to in the Stonebridge city, and people start to get knocked on the head by the Krug.
Yeah.
And they start, and the daughter...
There were so many thumping noises
in that. And he noted that every single thump was what? It was like...
It was the same thump.
It was
like,
a canned
like,
thump.
It was like...
Like, people were fighting, it was like...
They really phoned in the sound design. The Foley work.
They had things like some crashes and stuff with the swords. The swords sounded nice.
The swords were thumps, too.
When they talked, there was just a series of thumps. The Foley fell asleep pushing a button during the recording session. That was all the money they had, so they just went with it. So, Jason Statham, they keep cutting back to all this action happening in Stonebridge, and Jason Statham running around his farm looking for a non-existent sound, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then suddenly... He's in the middle of his field, right? This huge empty field of turnips. And he's looking around. And then he bends over to look at something, and there's a Krug behind him.
It's like one of directly those behind
like,
him.
Like 1 foot behind him. And he bonks him on the head, right?
Bonks Statham on the head?
Yeah. It was ridiculous. He was directly behind
him. So these Krug are very stealthy.
No, they're just orcs. They're big, fat. They look like the Gamorreans from Star Wars or something.
Gamorreans.
Whatever.
If he could hear the nothing, you know, he was like hearing nothing in the trees, but he couldn't hear a Krug directly behind him.
He's a terrible
turnip
farmer.
Nice try, you babe.
So anyway, Farmer then, he somehow realizes that, hey, I got to get to Stonebridge. So
Wait. How did he get up? Because he got hit down.
I don't remember. But anyway, he finds Ron Palman
in his
barn, and Ron Palman's making his horses go away. Yeah, and then he's beating off he's beating off Krug at every angle. He's beating him off like crazy. He has like a pitchfork or something. He's like bopping him on the head, and then Statham. By the way, early in the movie, he shows his son. For some reason, they're in Nova Scotia, and it's an ancient land. He has a boomerang.
Mm-hmm.
So he shows him that he can throw his boomerang, and it comes right back to him. And the son's like, oh, great. Like, what does that have
to
do?
He's trying to, like, ward off a pigeon.
And by the way, the boomerang doesn't actually do anything in the movie. He uses it a couple times and, like, knocks some people out with it. It doesn't actually do anything in the movie. It doesn't, like...
Relevant that it'd be a boomerang.
Exactly. So it was just like, Yubo's like, you know what's a cool thing? The boomerang. Let's have him do one of those.
Australian.
So he starts fighting with these guys, and he's got, like, he suddenly has a big machete. He just kind of came out of his pants, remember? Because he's walking around his farm, and then after he gets knocked in the head, he pulls a big machete out of his pants, and he uses that the whole film. There's plenty of good swords around later on in the film, but he just uses this big, huge curved scimitar machete.
He thinks he's, you know, what he is.
Yeah, he's a farmer. He is what he is. Farmer, they should have called machete. Him scimitar machete. So he, they start hacking and slashing these guys, which is never violent. There's no blood or anything.
Mm-hmm. Really?
This is trying to be PG-13. PG-13.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
for the kids.
Yeah, it's for the kids. The kids love this movie. There was me and Blaine and some, like, really old nerd.
I thought it was a lady.
What was it? I don't know. That's how nerdy this guy was. So he and
big pot bitch tits kind of.
Yeah, he and Ron Perlman, Paulman go to Stonebridge, and there's cacophony and melee is going on everywhere, yes. And they fight their way through. And then he's like, "My wife and son, right?" So they run off to the house, and they get in the house, and the son is being cornered in there. And Ray Liotta has a really ingenious way of controlling these Krug. I don't remember what it was.
Which. He's you know, he's, like, not in the battle. He's, like, in the castle, but he controls, like, one central Krug, you know.
And then they command the main leader.
I haven't really played Zelda.
He plays first-person shooters. He's in this, like, whirlwind of magic, right? And he can see everything that's going around, because inside of these Krug that are wearing, like, helmets and stuff...
Mm-hmm.
Is just like magic or something,
yeah.
And he like moves them, he can fight with them. Like he's inside this thing of hundreds of miles away, or I don't know, 10 miles away. I'm not sure. They
travel.
Yeah,
it's like a game of Battleship or something.
Yeah, and he kind of controls them, and then they tell the little Krug what to do. They're not little; they're like this big, and so Jason Statham keeps killing those guys throughout the thing. Because that's what controls the rest of them.
Yeah.
And every time he kills one, he chops it right in between where the armor and the helmet is. And then, like, black, like...
That's as gory as the movie got.
Black floaty goo flies out of everywhere because it's, like, magic goo, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He does that a few times. And there's those guys controlling things. And so, one of those guys is inside the house. And he's coming up to the kid. And he's like, I'm gonna get you, kid. And Jason Statham comes in and starts smacking them all. And up until this point, every time he came up to any one of them, he killed them with one hit. And then now he gets inside the house, and it takes him like 12 minutes to kill like two of them, right? Because this gives the son enough time to run away out of the house.
To be followed.
And the big Ray Liotta guy follows him out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see him basically, he kills Jason Statham's son in the field.
To give him the motivation to fight.
Yeah, he kills him.
Real, yeah.
And you know he kills him because the son goes, ugh.
I know.
And then the guy goes, ugh, and leans over
really
a little bit.
Like this. He was like,
he goes,
ugh. Do not run.
So, you know, the son's dead.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
The wife got taken away.
Because I guess they take prisoners.
They
don't really
randomly
explain that.
She's out of there.
Yeah, they took a handful of them. I think they were going to make them slaves as well, which is stupid, because apparently they can just manufacture these Krug.
Yeah.
Here's where the movie gets really stupid. It was really stupid the whole time. The king gets poisoned. We go back. There's all these stories that don't connect. The king is poisoned. Turns out it was Matthew Lillard. It was Ray Liotta working for Matthew Lillard to poison the king so that Matthew Lillard could take power and Ray Liotta would be his puppet master, right? Because he's actually the smarter of the two.
Yeah.
Ray Liotta smarter than
him? Yeah. Matthew Lillard's kind of a dumbass.
That makes sense.
Yeah, he's a pawn.
And so they both eat the food because Matthew Lillard doesn't know how he's going to kill the king. So he gives him the poison.
Because Matthew Lillard said to accelerate
things. Yeah, he said, accelerate things, make it go quicker. I want to beat the king quicker. So the king's like, he doesn't feel good. So Matthew Lillard, he wakes up the next day. Matthew Lillard has taken off with two battalions.
It was one-third of the whole army.
No, they said only one-third was left.
Oh, really?
So he took two-thirds of the army, which was apparently the 11th and 12th battalion. So the remaining one-third was all the other battalions.
Okay.
You get it? You get the math so far?
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the stupid thing. If you poisoned your uncle, and you were then going to become king, and you're going to run away and take his armies so you could then re-attack the castle.
Okay.
Why wouldn't you just take all the armies? He left.
Would give him the authority to take the armies is the thing.
He said he was king. He walked up to them. He said, the king's dead. I'm the king now. And they were like, really? And he said, yeah. And so they followed him. So why didn't he take all the armies? He took two battalions.
He didn't have enough pockets. He couldn't carry them.
Well, this whole doesn't make any sense to me.
No, this movie made no sense.
So he takes two.
I'm sure there was a strategic
battalions.
Yeah. And he goes off into the woods.
And they go off in the woods, and they do a U-turn. They come back,
and they say
invade their own castle.
Yeah. And so then the king turns out not to be so dead after all. Mm-hmm. John Rhys Davies comes and gives him a little tummy massage, and he feels better. He gives him does him some magic. One of these.
He gives him that. He slaps his hand
and
does the
mystery. And so anyway, so he wakes up and he's totally awake and he's fine. He goes, I'm dying, aren't I, from this poison? He goes, yeah. He goes,
like, I guess I didn't cure you.
Yeah. He goes, you don't have much time left in the world. but you got enough time. He says something like that.
Enough
like,
to finish the movie.
So basically Burt Reynolds is like, all right, cool. So he gets up. He's totally fine, you know? Apparently he like, you know.
Wasn't dying too bad.
Yeah, the poison was like, I don't know, was like multiple sclerosis or something. Gosh. It's just going to take him over the next 5 to 10 years. So then they all meet at some sort of rendezvous in the woods, and there Matthew Lillard is like, I took two of your battalions.
It was so civil.
Yeah, it was really civil. And like, and they end up like...
with parlay, huh?
And then the king shows up, and he's like, hey, I'm not dead. And then the two battalions that he took go, we're with you, king. We didn't know you were so dead.
And yet
they waste so much time in this movie with this stupid stuff. Why do you need to do
that? But Matthew Lillard still has like some people that, for some reason... remember, he still has like five guys.
Yeah, there's five guys, and then there's all the Krug. So they end up having some fights in the woods, and Christina Loken and her tree people are there, and they swing down on vines. They just do Cirque du Soleil stuff.
It's so ridiculous. They like
they come down on vines, and like there's music going, ooh, will they do it?
And then
they kind of come down.
They're
like,
supposed to be like the tree elves or something like that.
And then they kind of like just go back up. Ooh, they don't do anything really.
That's really
they're like, we hate you.
And then also,
men.
And then there's also ninjas.
No, they're all women. They're all tree elves.
And there's like three of them.
Yeah, there's like three of them, I think. Four.
But it's PG-13, so that never really pays off.
No. They don't finger bang each other or anything. And then there's also ninjas. Remember?
Yeah.
There's ninjas.
That was the most impressive.
The king has some ninjas that just kind of appear.
Yeah.
And they do the thing where they spin their swords
broadly
and
like
they get killed anyway.
So many flips.
They're like his elite like fighting force.
They were Uwe Boll's elite stunt force, and he wanted to use them in the film. But this whole time, Jason Statham ends up kind of killing a lot of these guys with a goo in them. And Ray Liotta keeps going, who is this farmer? And then he says that like 12 times. Every time he kills another guy, he goes, who is this? Let's keep an eye on this farmer. Let's see where this guy goes.
He tries to kill him once, though.
Yeah, oh yeah, he tries to kill him a few times. He hangs him from
him.
A tree.
And because Jason Statham, the most effective way.
And so Jason Statham somehow magically like rips the sword out of the guy's hands with his legs, and then he like cuts the guy's throat in one motion and also cuts the rope.
One fluid potion.
Yeah.
And then Ray Liotta, he wasn't fazed, though. He was like, you're just delaying me.
And then one subplot is that Lily Sobieski wants to fight and prove herself to her kingdom and her father, but the captain of the guard or the commander, one of the black guys in the army, who's the boss of the army, he's like, no.
See, a black man in charge.
Yeah, it can happen. He's the Colin Powell of this movie.
Okay.
And, except for he's blacker.
Well, Stringer Bell was in 28 Weeks Later, and he was the main general.
That's true.
And that was cool. That guy should be more stuck.
Did you watch that movie?
Yeah.
Do you like it?
I thought it was all right.
Yeah.
Well, let's finish this, then we can talk.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, I hope this finishes soon. Every time I say something, I remember how much more of the movie is left. It was really long. It was like 2 hours and 5 minutes.
Oh, my God.
And that was without the commercials.
That's 2 hours too long, huh?
It was about 5 minutes too long.
Yeah, about 2 hours too long.
I wish it would have ended right at 1 hour and 59 minutes.
Yeah, oh, my gosh.
So they have some fights and stuff, and Jason Statham. Turns out...
does he end up becoming the king, long story short?
He does become the king. Here's why. Because John Rhys-Davies says... He goes, I remember something. You were the king's son, and when you were 3, you ran away. You remember that? And he's like, no. And everyone else is like, I don't remember that at all. And he's like, well, it's true. And they're like, all right. So he ends up, you know, being the king.
Okay.
Matthew Lillard...
To be continued.
He's like
kind
of the most evilest person in the thing, and he really kind of...
aside from Ray Liotta.
Yeah, right? Ray Liotta just wants to kill people. Matthew Lillard is like really conniving. He wants to...
He's manipulative.
He's kind of like undermining.
It's more dangerous.
And he's a weaselly little whining, sniveling. And he ends up not... They don't show what happens to him. The tree people catch him, and Lily Sobieski brings him back. And he and the black general guy have a sword fight. And just as he's about to kill Matthew Lillard, they say, the king is dead, because Matthew Lillard shot him with an arrow during one of the fights, and the king actually did die this time.
Yeah.
And he's like, now I'm your king. And then Gimli comes through the crowd, and he goes, actually, Jason Statham is the king. And everyone goes, hail to the king.
Yeah,
and Miller goes, and Matthew Lillard goes, no! That's the last you see
him.
They should have shown them, like, slitting his throat.
Maybe
they
should have shown Jason Statham throwing his boomerang at him or something.
Maybe he gets put in the dungeon for, like, the execution upon coronation, sort of a double down on, you know, festival.
Didn't do it.
And then in part two, because it's a tale of presumably.
It is. It is a dungeon. It doesn't say the dungeon
or siege. Oh, well,
there might have been a dungeon. There was a couple of people.
Were there any siege weapons?
No.
Wow.
There was no siege. There was no siege of the dungeon. There was a dungeon that a couple of side characters were trapped in, like Claire Forlani's brother.
That's true. But really did they siege the dungeon?
No, there was no in-sieging of anything.
Wow. Didn't they just work their way out of the dungeon?
The video game is Dungeon Siege.
I'm so glad that I didn't have to sit through this.
He had to.
That you guys did it. You guys really wore this one. Gosh, it's like a grenade fell in front of me, and you both jumped on it.
I wish I know where to go with this. Where are we?
I don't know.
Hey, you tell the end of the movie.
That's no, I'm terrible at explaining.
It sounded like you already got the end. I guess.
No, that's not the end.
Oh, it keeps going?
No, there's...
Oh, it's still Ray Liotta.
No, yeah, there's some awesome
Ray
stuff.
Ray Liotta to deal with.
We've still got to deal with Ray Liotta.
Okay, so it's where Jason Statham first finds out he's the king. He's the king now. He doesn't change his clothes either.
They put together a little fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Like, the tree people, like, they're like, we'll come with you. They're like four people. Yeah.
But and only one of them ends up going with him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just Chrisanna Logan.
Just TX.
It ends up being Gimli, Jason Statham, Gimli's daughter, Lena Sobieski.
The ninjas, right?
No, just those four. Ninjas. And then Chrisanna Loken.
Ninjas.
So, anyway, while this big fight is still going on back in the woods, it shows them, and they're like, making this monster trek, like, over huge, hilly, snowy mm-hmm. peaks, just like in Lord of the Rings. You remember that movie? just like in that one.
Not now, not that this movie's
I forget that now.
It pushed it out.
So they get all the way to the top of this peak, and Chrisanna Loken goes, there it is. Or no, Gimli goes, there it is. There's the way, here's why I took you this direction. And about 4 miles away across like the Grand Canyon is a tiny little crack in the side of a cliff.
Okay, so he gets to that, and then he finds the glaive, right?
There's no glaive.
Damn.
I wish. There's a boomerang. So he goes like this. He goes, I'll see you guys later. And he kind of apparates and turns into and goes
magic.
Over there.
Yeah.
And he gets through the wall, and Ray Liotta's waiting in there for him. And then they have a sword fight using their minds. And they pick up swords off the walls, and they go, bing, 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 bing. And then Ray Liotta has... No, mm-hmm. Ray Liotta has... No, they were good. They were good CGI swords.
Yeah.
Ray Liotta suddenly has four swords. But Gimli's good enough. And they have a conversation the whole time. And they're talking.
Mm-hmm. It's like wind chimes.
Yeah, they're like, hey, I've got the power. And he's like, no, you'll never have the power. You know, good versus evil. And
but without meanwhile, good, you can have no evil.
Meanwhile, a mile and a half away across the gorge, Chrisanna Loken ties a rock to a big long rope and goes...
And throws it like 10 miles
and throws it,
does it across the
miles
gorge?
And miles away across the gorge, not toward the cliff where the hole is, but toward another cliff.
Yeah.
And
I don't think it was there in the first shot.
And it latches onto three big rocks that are perfectly placed, and it goes in between them. And she goes like this.
Let's talk.
And Lily Sobieski holds this rope, and it's completely tied over miles and miles. And she's holding it, and Jason Statham and Chrisanna Loken run at the rope, and they grab it, and they swing on this. On this 3 mile long rope, and it goes across the gorge, and at just the right moment, Jason Statham lets go and shoots him toward the hole in the cliff, right? And Chrisanna Loken goes all the way back and jumps off.
No, you don't even see that. In the next shot, she just walks into the frame.
No, I think she let go.
No,
also.
No, it doesn't.
You want to believe so bad.
No, she just does.
It does show Lily Sobieski standing there going like this, and then Chrisanna Loken walks up next to her and is like,
she made it back.
No, what movie is that where
somebody
thinks somebody dies and he's standing next? Oh, it's Indiana Jones. It's Last Crusade. He stands there and he's like, what are you guys looking at? And they're like, no, you're not dead. It's like that sort of thing.
But that was hilarious.
Except for she didn't care.
She's like leaning in the frame.
And they showed him in the shot, they showed him climbing up further down.
Yeah,
actually,
right.
they pay that. Yeah. So it's not completely slapstick and stupid.
And he didn't, and he lost his hat, but then it blew up.
It blew back up.
Yeah. But he's right though. There's this like medium shot of Lily Sobieski and Chrisanna Loken kind of like leans into frame. She's like, oh,
"You made it,
good."
She's not like Junya.
So
it's like directly parallel. How the hell would somebody get back? There's like no way they'd have enough force to get off
the because the rope was attached over there. There's no way she could have gone. This is the worst movie I've ever. You might have to draw the fans a diagram.
I might. I'll draw it.
Put it on the.
So anyway, Jason Statham sneaks
We're
into
not
some.
Do that,
he sneaks into some other part of the castle cave thing now, and John Rhys Davies ends up getting killed because Ray Liotta has now got the power of Grayskull and all the swords. the swords are able to. He turns them into some sort of dust, and they go through his sword and they stab him, and he's like, "Oh,
nah, dude, you gotta paint a better picture than that." He creates four swords out of one sword, and he's like. You know, he's, like, firing all four swords at, you
and
know...
Gimli, yeah.
Gimli. And then Gimli's, like... He cuts off all the ends of the swords with, you know, his sword.
Mm-hmm.
And then, out of nowhere, Ray Liotta makes...
All the dust.
Yeah, all the dust.
The dust of the shattered swords.
Yeah.
Turned
into
one.
One sword.
And it goes,
and it goes right
through
Gimli. It was...
He's dead. Or he's dying.
He's a professional sword and...
Yeah.
Enchanter.
So while he's dying, Lily Sobieski thinks... She's like, you know what? I think I may be able to turn into that ghost thing.
Everybody felt it, too, when he died.
Yeah.
Or when he got hit, because it wasn't really dead.
Yeah. And so she floats across the chasm, also.
Mm-hmm.
And she gets inside there. Ray Liotta's already gone off to do his whatever paperwork. And he's got to file paperwork about the death.
He's going to read his books in his extensive library.
Yeah. He goes into his huge library with millions of books. That's how he's so smart, because he's read
those
books.
Which play a large role in the end of
the
film.
They do, for no reason. And then so John Rhys Davies goes, I think it's time that you get all my power now. And she's like, what? And he grabs her hand and goes, and he's like he's trying to take a crap. He's squeezing really hard, and she's and like powers are going into her. And then he just dies. Like he doesn't say goodbye or anything. He just goes,
yeah, it was really
and then,
wasn't dramatic.
And she's like, thanks. And she goes into the next room. And meanwhile, Jason Statham's already in the next room,
mm-hmm.
and he's like. Your big scheme stops here. I'm the king now. And Ray Liotta goes, oh, yeah? And then they have... and he says, no magic trickery. Let's just have a sword fight. And Ray Liotta's like, yeah, I'll do that. So they have a sword fight. But they're still... You know, every once in a while he throws something at him magically.
Yeah.
Because he's not playing...
It's kind of like Empire Strikes Back or something. Or Darth Vader.
Yeah.
So he's like pulling something
like,
off the wall.
They end up,
and
also... Jason Statham's wife's in there. Because Ray Liotta noticed that it was her wife. Because he could feel his... new baby inside of her, you see, because he had sex with her. And the thing with him and his wife was, in the beginning, she goes, do you love me, farmer? And he goes, you know the answer to that one. And she goes, well, you gotta say it. And he's like, I don't wanna say it. And she's like, you know, and so basically the whole thing is like,
so he showed it.
Will
he was showing,
yeah, he was
telling.
Showing it. But at the end, he actually says it. I just gave away the ending.
Oh, man. Wow.
So they have this big sword fight, and then Ray Liotta's like, no, I won't let you beat me. And so he pulls all the books. There's a million books coming out from his library that they're in. This all these books. And they build some sort of huge wall that Jason Statham
a
gets
a wall
like,
of knowledge. Jason Statham being
exactly.
an illiterate farmer
yeah.
can't bust through.
And he's trapped in this wall of knowledge. But
wait,
then...
Wait. Oh, it's like a tornado.
Yeah, the tornado. And it spins him up on the ground. But then it also traps him, right?
Something like
first.
A twister of wisdom.
And then Ray Liotta ends up...
The power of literature.
Yes.
And Lily Sobieski comes in. And right when he's about to blast somebody, she counter-blasts it, and it kind of does the thing, whoosh, the Harry Potter thing.
Yeah.
Where they're, like, blasting each other's powers.
Some kind of Dragon Ball Z thing.
And right when he's about to kill everyone, he goes, you're going to do this, you know, you're going to do this because of... You're going to get revenge on me because of, because of the love of the farmer or something, you know, he says all these things about like a farmer or like all these things that Jason Statham was. He was,
he was a farmer.
He was a farmer. He was a
father of a husband.
Father.
Yeah. Husband and like a son, like for the king and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Claire Forlani, who's suddenly free of her bonds, picks up a sword and goes, you forgot about a mother or something. And she stabs Ray Liotta to death.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, damn. And he falls over. He falls over.
Oh wait.
And,
I remember the books.
Yeah.
He uses books as handcuffs, remember?
Yeah, the books, yeah, they go, that's right, they go, open books, like, land on his arms and wrists, and he's like, no! And then it lifts him up in the air, yeah.
The shackles.
Thank you for remembering
yeah.
that.
That happens to Transporter.
Yeah, it happens to Statham, and he goes, and then, you know, Ray Liotta dies. Everyone's free. All the Krugs go
but
away
for
into
how
the woods.
Long?
Oh, no. The Krugs go into the woods. They're
you
just dumb
you forgot the...
Don't.
As this was going on, there was another epic battle going on between, you know, the Krug.
Yeah, right. Out in the rain or something.
Yeah.
They were about to kill everyone.
Remember the wide shot of the Krug army and then it goes to a...
Yeah.
Like a footprint.
Blaine was really bothered by a directorial choice, which was there was a huge wide shot of the Krug and it cut to a really close-up shot of some rain on a puddle, and then suddenly in slow motion a Krug foot came in, and he said
That's the opposite of
he
what
he said. Why did they do that in that order? And I was thinking, does it matter? But you're right.
It was. It's weird really that
you
noticed
that. You noticed some directorial editing choice.
That's like the only time I'd ever noticed. It's the only time when you ever notice.
Yeah.
When it's done wrong. Terrible.
Yeah. So anyway, at the end, he goes, "I got something to tell you," and she's like, "What is it?" And he goes, "I love you," and they kiss, and then I guess he's the king.
Yep.
And that's the end of the movie. And then there's this.
His son comes back to life.
No, his son's dead. So then there's this terrible minstrel music. But it's like pop minstrel music.
Oh my. It's
like, but it's got like a beat. And this guy's like.
It's basically like when The Simpsons makes fun of movies, and they did that one with like Robot Zorro and stuff. Yeah. That music.
Yeah, it was basically.
Does it have like a hip hop guy come in? Does like Mos Def or somebody like rap over the end of it? He's too cool for that. Mos Def.
All I know is that I had to force myself to stay awake at least 4 or 5 times in the movie.
You lost about? Consciousness at least twice.
No, I kept like nodding off, and yeah. I kept thinking, if I close my eyes for a couple minutes, I bet I won't miss anything.
But it turns out you did. It sounds very convoluted and complex.
It was so convoluted and complex.
There was this one part, though. Well, it might have been, you know, more than one part. Like, there was this, like, you know, really intense music, and there was, like, nothing going on.
Wait, well, yeah, what was...
I don't know,
they were burying his son.
Yeah.
Jason Statham and his brother-in-law are burying his son. And they're digging, it's like dun 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 dun. They're like they're just digging. Then it's like cutting to quicker shots of them digging while they're burying the sun. It's like dun 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 dun
dun. Maybe it's supposed to build up the intensity of his like his anger.
Yeah, but maybe. But then it shows
it didn't get to like you know a point where he was like nah or anything like that.
And then at the very end,
he was just like man.
At the end, the music kind of dies off, and they're standing there, and they're like,
done digging. We did it.
Yeah.
He said he needed another rock for a tombstone or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so he gets one.
Wow.
It was all, that was why the music was there.
If you want to email us at futilepodcast@gmail.com, I forgot to do that at the beginning.
Every time the rain comes down, close my eyes and listen. I can hear the lonesome sound of the sky as it cries. Listen to the rain. Here it comes again. Hear it in the rain. Feel the touch of tears that fall.
Give me the chicken. Arr, 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 arr.